Parshat Emor deals with, in Perek Kaf Gimel, the different festivals, the different holidays, and how to celebrate them. Within this description, we have the whole description of the Omer sacrifice that was brought. On the day after the first day of Pesach, a small measure, an Omer. An Omer means a measure. A small measure of barley was brought to the Beit HaMikdash. It was waved. If we take a look in source number one, he shall wave the Omer before Hashem to gain favor for you. On the morrow of the rest day, the Kohen shall wave it. On the day you wave the Omer, you shall perform the service of an unblemished lamb in the first year. And then we have the count. You shall count for yourselves on the morrow of the first day, of the rest day, from the day when you bring the Omer of the waving, 7 weeks, they shall be complete weeks, until you bring the Mincha Chadasha, the new offering, Yom HaBikurim, on Shavuos. So, the questions that we're going to be asking today are really twofold. One is, what is this whole idea of calling this whole period Sfiras HaOmer? As the Eish Tamid Rav Druk points out in source number 6, Kol Kach Hu Gal Nu Lispor, we're so used to counting 4 days of the Omer, 5 days, 10 days of the Omer, that we don't even think about what we're saying. Omer means an amount. It'd be like saying we're counting 5 days to the pound or to the kilo. Like 5 days to the pound or to the kilo? That makes absolutely no sense. Right? If we would say we're counting 5 days from the bringing of the Omer sacrifice, okay, that's one thing. If we would say we're bringing it from the barley that was brought, okay, but to say from the Omer, right, not even using the word korban, not even using the word sacrifice, I'm counting 5 days, 10 days from the Omer, so we need to understand what is the significance of focusing on this period of Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. The second thing that we need to take a look at is this idea that's repeated over and over again in these group of psukim, is the idea of the waving. And as Rashi points out in 3a, Vehinif, he shall wave, kol tnufa, every waving mentioned in Torah means molich umevi. He moves the object being waved back and forth, malo, mori, and he lifts and lowers that object, molich umevi. He moves the object back and forth, Latzor ruchos rolls, to restrain harmful winds. Malo morid, he lifts and lowers it. Latzor tlalim roim, to restrain harmful dews. So there's a waving in all different directions, and this waving has some spiritual impact on the climate around to ensure that the harvest should produce properly. Why is this such a big focus? So those are the two questions that we're going to focus in on, clearly with the mind's eye of how can we work on, what should we work on, what should our focus be during Sfiras HaOmer. This is such a special time, as found in source number 2. The Ramban calls it like a cholo shalmoe, like a cholomoe between Pesach and Shavuos. This time is linked. How do we best access this time? How do we best grow from this time? We have spoken about these topics, some of these questions, for many, many years now, and we're going to come away with some of the same conclusions as we've had in the past. At the same time, the path that we're going to take and the scenic view that we're going to see will learn new insights, new ideas that we've never met before, and hopefully we'll be able to integrate on a very real and practical level in our lives. So, there'll be three levels. The first will focus in on Mirat Hashem in depth, and 2 and 3 we'll just make mention of. Let's start with source 5a. And he asked, he says, O Yesh Lava'er, Ha'inyan Sha'omer Nikra Omer HaTnufa. Why is there this focus of the waving? And he notes here that, in fact, the day of the bringing of the Omer was called the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yom Hanaf, the day of the waving. Right? So, waving really has a major focus on this day. Kein tzarech bir, we have to understand what Rashi explains, that the waving is going in all these different directions. What's the significance of the waving going in all these directions? So the first approach will begin with source number 7. V'yish lomar, he quotes here the Be'er Avraham, who says the following: She'inyan yimei asfira nirmaz b'mamara katuv adam ube'ma toshiya Hashem. The whole idea of Sfira Sa'omer can be found, can be reflected in the pasuk that man and animal Hashem will save. And he explains, Sha'omer karev misorim she'macho behema. The first korban that's brought the day after Pesach, the korban ha'omer, was brought from the barley harvest, v'shtei alechem, and the harvest that the offering that's brought on Shavuos itself, the Shtei HaLechem, Mechitim Shemach HaLadam. So we know that Tzaora, barley, is animal food. And on Shavuos, the Shtei HaLechem is brought from Chametz, it's brought from wheat, which is food that people eat. And that's really Shazu Avodas Yimei Sfira. That's really, in a nutshell, the work of the Sfira. Leaves Dakeich Mibchina Behema, to work on moving ourselves from the animalistic parts of us. Because really, what does an animal have? What does an animal exist on? On taiva, on desire. That's all they have. We have to move from that animalistic aspect of ourselves, whose entire focus is just consumption and desire and running after desire, and be able to enter into a sphere of being human, enter into this higher aspect. And that's the idea of the Henifeta Omer, Molich Umevi, that we move the Omer into all these different directions. This is about an elevation process. And he notes in source number 8, in Siva Shalom, this is very similar to the Hanafas HaLevim, that we know that the Levim were waved in many different directions in their time of inauguration by Aaron HaKohen. Why were they waved in all these directions? For the same reason. You're now being elevated from just being X type of person to now being one who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the Mishkan. You have become elevated, and the procedure of the waving is that procedure of transformation. So really, when we say this is to the Omer, and the day of the Omer is called Yom Hanaf, the whole idea is to remember the Omer that was waved, and in remembering the Omer that was waved, we have to be able to integrate within ourselves. We need to wave ourselves, so to speak, which means we need to move ourselves from that pure animalistic part of ourselves into being human. We've spoken about many years ago the idea of Rav Schwab's Zatzal, that we stand for Sfiras Omer. Human nature is laziness. Human nature is to be drawn to the earth. To actually stand up means that I'm going against my nature. This is the whole aspect of what Sfiras Omer is all about, what this whole idea of this period is about, until we get to Shavuos. Shavuos is already the time when we bring the Shtei HaLechem, where every person now has entered into a whole different dimension. And with this, he explains, and this is very important, he says, why there's so many mitzvot that are Zecher L'Tziyat Mitzrayim, source number 10, that we remember, we have to remember the Exodus from Egypt. So there's a lot of Torah on exactly what we are remembering. But he brings the following idea, Shekol Shabbos v'yantuf in the asterisks in 10, heim zecher l'tziyat Mitzrayim. Hainu, what does that mean? Shemazkirim liyudi shalav latzei mimitzrayim mechelek mitzrayim shalo v'al klipa shalvrat ha'aretz shebekirbo. What are we reminding a person? That they have to leave yitziyat Mitzrayim. We have to leave continuously the Mitzrayim aspect within us, the klipos, the shells, the parts of us that are raw, the parts of us that we haven't worked on, the parts of us that are like the animalistic parts of us, right? Mitzrayim we know is described as besar chamorim saram. Their flesh is like the flesh of a chamor, of a donkey. And obviously this is symbolic, that a donkey, chamor, is chumrios, is physicality. What Egypt represents was the world of physicality. Egypt was the metropolis of that time, where everything was so amazing. In fact, The Sfarim say, what does it mean that no slave ever left Egypt? It means no slave ever wanted to leave Egypt. Even a slave didn't want to leave Egypt. It was like the perfect place, even as a slave, to live. And that is because it was a place that was, whole focus was just about how can you be able to feed into the pleasures of the human existence. We need to leave Egypt. And that's our job every single year. And it's a spiral. Every year we move further and further as we grow as individuals from that base physicality into the more spiritual parts of ourselves. The Mesilas Bavavim, Rav Eisenberger, develops this Nesiva Shalom. And he quotes a gewaltic idea from the Baal HaTera Tzvi in Source 13. We know, we say this in our davening, Umotar Ha'adam Min Habema Ayin. Which literally means, and that which is above the of man to animal is nothing. So the way he teaches is the following: that the motar ha'adam min ha'bema, that which is different, that which makes a distinction between man and animal, is one word, ayin, nothing. The difference between a animal and a human is the ability of ayin, of no. The ability to move beyond one's instincts. Animals work by instincts. Let's take the penguins, for example. Penguins in Antarctica. So we know that the ice there is really cold. And Mrs. Penguin doesn't want to leave her egg on the ice. Because if she dropped the egg on the ice, it would crack. So they have worked out a system, instinctively, where Mr. Penguin holds this egg between his legs, could be for weeks on end, not moving. And Mrs. Penguin hopefully finds some fish and brings it back and feeds him. Now, you'd say to yourself, this is crazy. To stand not moving for weeks on end, like you could starve to death, and some do. So, where does this come from? This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria. This is the way he created the penguins. We have the ability to say, no, we're going to think of a better solution than just standing there holding this egg. We have the ability as well to say, I am not going to eat right now. You give grass or hay to an animal, they're just going to chomp, chomp, chomp. We have the ability to say, I am. I'm not going to eat now. I'm going to wait. I'm going to fast. Whatever it is. And that goes through the depths of what the human condition is about. We have the ability to step back, and that's the difference between an animal and a human. An animal just goes from pleasure to pleasure. A human has the ability to use their seichel, their mindset, to make decisions on what is correct and what is not. And if a person is just going to follow after their instincts and go from one pleasure to another without evaluating and about looking, is this appropriate or not, then they are b'nei adam hamdomim l'behema. Then they're people that are likened to an animal. And that's what we have to understand. That our moach, our brain, is in our head, which is the Mishkan HaShchinah, which has the ability to overcome the heart's desires. And this is the way we are physically made, where our head is on top of the entire body, because the head is supposed to rule the rest of the body. And that is the difference between us and the animals, where many animals are on all fours. And this is what Rav Forchheim in Lefanav Navot speaks about. It's something to think about when we say, Source 17 and 18, the bracha of Zokev Kefufim every morning. The bracha of Zokev Kefufim is we thank Hashem for making those, to straighten those who are bent. All right, we were sleeping in the bed, and now we're able to stand straight up. But on a much deeper level, the Zokev Kefufim reminds us of our ability to stand erect. Our ability. And in fact, I'll tell you personally, when I say this bracha of Zokev Kefufim, if possible, I try to look outside. And I try to look up. at the sky, because where we focus, that's who we are. We're not like people who have, like, the animals, their head down all the time. It almost reminds me when I see people crossing the street with their machines. And I'm like, this is the way an animal walks around, with their heads down all the time. We were created with the ability to have a sheifa, to look up. Where you look is where your heart is, where your focus is. We have the ability, Zokev Kafufin, thank you Hashem, for giving me a head that has the ability to look upright to you, that has the ability to focus, that my day should be one on serving you. And indeed, we know in Source 18 that the word Melech, king, it stands for the Moach, Lev, and Kaved. You first have the head, then the heart, then the place of desires. But it starts with the Moach, it starts with the head. That's what it means to be a king over yourself. My friends, if we were have to distill down what is the Avoda, what is the work of Siris Omer, it's this one word. It's to be a melech. It's to be a king. It's not to be an animal. It's not to be about whatever desire I have, I'm going to run after. It's my ability to stop and ask myself, why am I doing this? Be able to say no to myself. They tell a story. Rav Yoshiv Zecher Kaddish V'Tzadik Levracha, whose grandson was his shamish, and a very chashuv a person came to speak to Rav Yoshiv, and Rav Yoshiv told his grandson, tell this person to come back in a half hour. And the grandson says, how can I tell him that? He's a very chashuv a person. Rav Yoshiv was insistent, tell him to come back. He felt uncomfortable. Okay, come back in a half hour. When the grandson came back to Rav Yoshiv says, if you can't say no to somebody, then how can you say no to your own inclinations? We have to learn to be able to say no. This is one of the key aspects of chinuch, where if the child is given everything, then what type of child is this child going to grow up to be? But Eretz lo zrua, the Hasidic pshat is in the land where no is planted. That's how we grow as people. That we grow as people knowing that there's limitations. Not everything happens when we want it to happen. The Shmuel Pinchas Rav Friedman talks about this in Source 28, and he says, Ki tefkido shel adam ba'olam hazeh hu lamlich et hamoach v'lashlito al halev. Our job in this world is to take the moach, the brain, the mind, and have it rule over the heart. Because if the heart rules, so then it's going to run wild and do whatever it wants. Let's put this in simple English. You see a food that your seichel says, you know, I'm not sure about the kashrus. It might be better not to eat it. Your lev says, well, it looks okay. What could be wrong with it? Kashrus is all political anyway. It can't be so bad. That's, look at the ingredients. There's nothing terrible. And eat it. So the lev has ruled over the moach. Another example. You hear this great piece of Lashon Hara. So your mind says, no, 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 this is Lashon Hara. Your heart says, I know, but I really want to tell it. Your mind says, but you really shouldn't tell it. Your heart says, that may be true, but I want to tell it. And then you go tell it. So here, this person is being driven by their desires. They're being driven by what they feel like. And we know we can have a whole generation of people who act based on the way they feel like it, without thinking, without weighing, without using the secha, without using the mind. Is this appropriate to say? Should I say this now? How should I say this? How should I present this? All of this is the process of the moach, melech, being in charge. And he says very beautifully that the word ma'aseh and the asterisk in 28, ma'aseh means an act. Before doing every act, make sure moach sholeit al halev. The moach, the mind, the mem, ma'aseh, should be sholeit al halev, should, moving around the letters, should be ruling over the heart. That should be the mindset that a person has. And indeed, Shlomo HaMelech in 21 tells us, Reishit Chochma Yiras Hashem. Before you can have any Chochma, you have to have Yiras Hashem. You have to have a heart that's ready to listen to this chachma. So the mind can be filled with all of this. I know this is right. I know this is wrong. I know I should say this. I know I should say that. And it's filled, you know, ad infinitum with all the halachas. But reishit chachma, the beginning of wisdom, is yiras Hashem. If there's no heart that you've worked on to prepare yourself to listen to your mind, then it's going to be limited on how much your mind says. The yiras Hashem, the awe of Hashem, has to be working on that emotional part of ours. The awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, Hashem is here. This is inappropriate to do. I have to weigh what I'm doing. I have to ask myself what I'm doing. And therefore, we have Lachshira Talev Shiyeh Kli Muchan Lekabel Hara B'Chag HaShavuos in 22. The time of Sfiras HaOmer is really about preparing the heart that has the ability to listen to the lev. Chacham lev yikach mitzvos. The wise person is the one who takes mitzvos. And indeed, in 25, the B'nai Yisachar points out that the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer can really be divided into two parts. We have in Perek Bet of Pirkei Avos from Yochanan ben Zakkai asked the students, what's the best path a person should go on? Right, so some people say have a good friend and have a good neighbor, a roe to nola. And Rav Elazar ben Arach's approach is lev tov, have a good heart. Roe et dvarav, mi dvarechem, shemachal dvarav divrechem. This is all inclusive. A lev tov, a good heart, is a heart that is ready to accept whatever the mind tells it. Chacham lev, yikach mitzvos. That's the chacham lev, that it's the wise heart. And it's able to grab these opportunities. And indeed, in Source 24, this is why Reb Chaim Vital speaks about why don't we have midos more prominently in the Chumash. Don't get angry, be patient, all these wonderful midos. And he says it's very simple. If we don't have being a mensch as a prerequisite, then you can't have Torah. Torah is based on that a person has worked on themselves and they have all these midos. Derech Eretz, it's Kadma LaTorah. This is where it's about. That's the idea of Sfiras HaOmer, to work on ourselves. It's a continuous process. That I'm a person who knows that, yes, I want to work on curtailing my anger. And then I can use my mindset to be able to say, this is not an appropriate situation to get angry. No, in this situation, it is appropriate to get angry. To be able to weigh out where everything is at. Lev, Tov. Lev is a numerical value of 32. Tov is a numerical value of 17. This is our job. To have the Lev, the heart, Tov. Kilakach Tov, Natati Lachem. Torah Si Al Tazofu. Tov represents Torah. The Lev has to precede the Torah. And the transition between day 32 to 17, between these two periods, is obviously like Ba'omer. Like Ba'omer gives us that link between these two aspects of working on our lev and our tov, being able to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now I can appreciate in source number 30, Ulfi Zeha Beor, based on this, Beor Niflash, it's Sofrim Davka Laminyana Omer, Kedei Laskir Latzmenu Shelo Torah Anu Kebehemos, ומתכוונים אנו ליום מתן תורה וכהכנה עלינו להיפרד ולהתרחק בכל יום ויום יותר מהבמיוס ולהתרומם לדרגר בן דס וכלשון המרשה כמעט בונים תחפשנה. The idea of Sfiras HaOmer, Omer is a measure. We have to work on every day a small measure of working on ourselves to move beyond our behemius, our physicality. And he says this is why we almost count backwards. Shouldn't we be counting, anticipating Shavuos? And he says, Lufize Mitzurezik Am Kushiat Sefer Chinuch, which is Maduah Sofrim Kama Yamim Avru Velo Kama Yamim Yisharu. Why do we focus on how many days have passed, not how many days are left? Lam Lamur Adrim Niflayim, but now we can understand it. Shekedei Lidkonein Aleinu Livchon Atzmenu. In order to really prepare for Shavuos, we have to ask ourselves, Betzur Meirah, Kama Hidrachaknu Ma Behemios. How much have we moved away from that moment of Omer, from that small amount of barley? Shariyavar odyom, v'odyom, v'kvar kach v'kach yamim avru meyamim amsugalim lipared maharav lidromein l'kabal sadat aydei kabal satara. So this is our challenge. Our challenge every day is to ask ourselves, how many days have I been successful in whatever area we choose? Whatever area is our Mitzrayim, whatever area is our physical drive, is it whatever mita we need to work on, patience, anger, whatever it is. And we take a small aspect to work on, and then every day when we count Sfiras Omer, we say, I have moved that little bit of Omer, I have moved that little portion, that measurement, away from that aspect of physicality. 3 days away, 5 days away, 15 days away, 30 days. It's all about the distance I have created from the moment that I decided to offer up that small little barley offering. That's the challenge of Sfiras Omer, to take something very small, that desire, whatever it may be, and to say, you know, it could be very well, you know, I'm always so hungry, and I just, you know, swallow my bracha before I really even swallow my food. So stop. I'm not going to be an animal. An animal just sees food and grabs it. Umatar hadamina beima ayin. I have the ability to say no. I have the ability to say, you know what? I don't need to just gobble up this food. I am going to count to 20 before I'm going to eat. And then I'm going to say a bracha. And I'm going to say the bracha out loud, whatever it is. And in that way, I have moved away from that animalistic desire, and I have self-control. And at that moment of self-control, I do this every day during Sfiras Omer. Wow, 20 days of self-control, 30 days of self-control, 50 days, wow. Each day I've moved one step away from that area. And hence, L'titchel Yom points down in 31, we don't have the idea of Shomea Ka'one, that one person makes the bracha, and then everyone just listens. Why does every single person need to count? One person says the bracha and counts for everybody. And the answer is, L'chein tzarich l'ro kol l'cha l'ro pa'ez v'madrigah, who ochez v'chayim? Of course someone can count for me. Because I'm working in this area, and you're working on counting to 20 and not getting angry, and you're working on another area, and we're all working in different places. Ha'im tiken et atzmo b'masha tzarich, l'chein chashbo nafsho shel zeh, lo domel chashbo nafsho shel l'sheni. What one person is working on is not what another person is working on. Every person is working on wherever they are at. And clearly, as we know, that one of the ways to be successful in our endeavor to work on ourselves is to really push ourselves forward. Because if we just leave it to nature, lethargy is going to set in. We know that man's nature, this is ascending the path of Hillel, Basil Masil Shisharim, is very heavy and sluggish. Our natural inclination is to take things slow and easy. We like it that way because somehow we're always tired. This is because the earthiness of physicality is very coarse, so man does not desire exertion and work. Who needs it? It's the nature of the physical to be heavy, and physical we most certainly are. We must relax, sleep, spending our lives in a setting of utter non-strenuous placidity. We don't want to work hard. It is such a bother to work at all. Don't even talk about working hard. And Sfiras Omer is about breaking out of that. Sfiras Omer is about being able to move and push myself forward and say, no, this is very important. This is a time of din. It's a time of judgment. This is a time where I really need to show who I am and what I'm all about. And the counting, the sfira, the Hasidic Sfarim speak about, it comes from the language of sapphire. It's a time to be able to shine. It's a time to be able to break through and really access self. Right? The pasuk of Im techapesna ka kesef ka matmonim, if you search out for it, like silver, then you will find it. Kimat bonim techapesna, you'll find it. In kesef tevakshena kimat bonim, you'll find it like the treasures. And matmonim, the treasures, is made up of two words, mem temmonim, the 49 counts. You'll find it. If you really are searching for that deeper part of yourself, you'll find treasures. You'll find that that silver, that is from the word lichsof, the desire, tevakeshna, that you ask for it. If you're desiring to become a better person, then kamat monim, you'll find it like the treasures. These mem monim, these 49 days are a very powerful time to be able to access the greatness of self, to be able to move myself that much higher, that much greater. We'll add one important nakuda that is a beautiful word to think about. Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemia. He's called Yosef Nechemia because his mother died in childbirth, and this should increase mercy. So, or shortly after childbirth, he was born really without ever knowing his mother. So, in the Chidushei Rabbeinu Yosef Nechemia, he points out that, based on the Chasam Sofer 33, that Omer, Sfirah Sa'omer, right? Sa'omer is a measure, and I'm moving away measure by measure from that physicality. But Omer itself teaches us something, and it struck me as very powerful when I learned this piece. Omer stands for Einayim, eyes, Me'ayim, stomach, Rosh, head. Einayim, Me'ayim, and Rosh. And we know that the three major categories that drive a person away from this world, the three major headings where a person really needs to work on in their mitos, are kina, taiva, and kavod. Those are motzi v'ta adam in olam. Kina, which is jealousy, is connected to einayim, right? Your eyes are all around. What does everyone else have? This is the time, Sfirah Sa'omer, to work on your einayim, that you should be able to look at other people with an ayin tova, with a good eye. Be able to appreciate what you have with an ayin tova, not being jealous. Me'ayim is the stomach, it's obviously taiva, not to have a desire for all the physical pleasures of this world. And Rosh, the head, is kavod, right? Where people are looking to be at the Rosh, at the head, looking for kavod. He takes this further and he says, the idea of waving of the Omer is about elevating all three areas in the Avodas Hashem. That my kina, my jealousy should be kina sofrim tarbe chochma. I should be jealous for the sake of Hashem. I should be jealous of those who are serving Hashem, that I should follow likewise. My taiva should be taiva for Kedusha. I should desire things that are holy and to be involved in holy things. And the kavod should be, my heart should just want to stand firm for the kavod of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the waving. The waving is to take these elements, which, albeit, have as part of them, as we just spoke about, the Sfirah Meira, right? Part of Sfirah Sa'omer is moving away from the Kina, Taifa, and Kavod, whatever area we need to work on. But there's also the flip side, that it's also about the waving, taking these mitos and being able to elevate them. You have a lot of jealousy in you, so use it to be able to be jealous of people who really serve Hashem and say, you know what, I also could do that. I also could say Tehillim every day. I also could do Chesed. I also can. And be able to channel it into a healthy way. We'll end this first idea. It's a very beautiful insight. Masils Bilvova ends this Maimer in 37, second paragraph. So we understand that the whole idea of the period of Sfirah Sa'omer is about moving away from the animalistic part to get to the part of being an Adam. From the barley to be able to get to the wheat. We know that there are two parts to this. There's the Sfirah Meira. It's about staying away from those animalistic parts. Have your head over your heart. Be able to say no. Be able to say, no, I'm not going to eat this right now. No, I'm not going to get jealous of this person. No, I am not. I'm able to control myself. Melech, moach, lev, kaved. I have the ability to be controlled. And then there's that other aspect of the Hanafa Sa'omer, where you take your Einayim, your Me'ayin, and your Rosh, and you elevate it to do the service of Hashem. You wave it. That the waving is, I'm going to take those very parts of me and see how it can be directed in the positive. The goal is to be a bigger mensch. The goal is to be more human. And he notes that if you've noticed that one of the things about Sfiras HaOmer, Shebebirka Sfiras HaOmer mitzlavim v'yoter mevarachim v'korim v'kol gadol yoter mishar ha-mitzvah shebatorah. So, if you've been to shul, I only go Friday night, I try. So you know when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, the rabbi usually says the bracha out loud, and then everyone screams the bracha, right? It's like a big deal. And they count out loud, and it's like, it's a lot of noise. And at home, even when you count, we usually count out loud. What's this business of counting out loud? There's so many mitzvahs. Most of the mitzvahs we do silently. You know, people mumble it. We don't make a big deal about it. So Rav Eisenberger says, because l'fish b'mitzvah zu ovrim yis'ali min darga chaya al dargas min daber b'chol yomi me'esfira min na'rim min darga achat shal b'hem yis'ali min darga yonam yis'yamet shal nosur. Because the whole idea of being human is the idea of speech, of dibur. So every day I'm moving higher in this ability to be more of a mensch, to be more human, less animal. So since the idea of being a human is reflected in the fact of speech, so Sfiras HaOmer, you say out loud, it's as if it's that awakening and reminder, this is where I want to reach. I want to reach the place of Dibur, that my speech is human, my speech is of Kedusha, my speech is that of the world of connection, of closeness to Ribbono Shel Olam. So in saying, counting Sfiras HaOmer out loud, it's a reminder. Standing up is a reminder. Move away from lethargy. Move away from that and work on oneself. And then saying the bracha out loud is further a reminder that my job is to become an adam, a person of speech. That, my friends, is level number one. Sfiras HaOmer, I'm counting from that little measure because every day I need to work measure on measure in elevation, and moving myself higher, Einayim, Me'ayin, and Rosh, Kina, Taifa, and Kafah. The second idea is an idea we've seen before in the Be'er Yosef. Here we have it from the Ish Tamid Rav Druk. And he says in the Aaron source number 40, Be'inyan zeh matzino dovar nifla b'medrash. We find something very fascinating in the Medrash. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Lech emor lahem l'Yisrael. Go say to the Jews, Kishayiti notein lechem etaman, hayiti notein omer lechol echa ve'echa mekem. When I gave you the man in the desert, I gave every person one omer, one amount. Hadu dechtiv omer lechol gola. It was that omer. Again, an omer is a measurement for every head. V'achshav shatem notenim li, et ha'omer ein li ela omer chad mokuchem. So I gave each one of you an Omer of Man. All I'm asking from you is one Omer collectively from everyone for this barley sacrifice. So what's going on here? So he says in 41, Vanira Beveir Divre Medjesh, Kikvar Badavar Zel Lalam Deno. This is coming to teach us. Kishem Shahaman Hu Neis Vinash Shamayim Vein Bel Tevakla. The man, when it fell, was clearly a miracle. There was nothing natural. Nobody had anything to do with that man coming down. It was clearly the Yad Hashem. But truth be told is, that's exactly the wheat coming from the ground. El Shazay, no Baru Lacho, but that's not as clear to everybody. Valula Damlach Shom Shuzarevu Choresh Vacharka Kotzer, Umavita Lechel Metome Chesek Yidu Lechel Matzvah, People really think they plant, and therefore they have wheat, and therefore they have bread. Ulam hamet ki te'ut ayumah hisov. Ein hefresh klal ben yiridat taman shigam galui umuflal ben tzmichat tevua basadeh. The truth is, there's no real difference between the man and the wheat that grows. Everything comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's controlling it. Therefore, when we come into Eretz Yisrael, kasher nichlasu la'aretz v'uklofa nagam minusim gluim l'nusim nisterim, we're moving from the open miracles, the revealed miracles, to the concealed ones. So immediately we have to bring the Omer Reshita Katsir. We bring this Omer. And again, the Omer reminds us of the Omer of the man to make a very powerful statement that we recognize that all of our produce comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about us. It's not about Kochi Votsimyoti. It's all about the goodness of Hashem. And that, my friends, is really trying to instill in us one idea. And that idea is Emunah. What the Omer sacrifice was about, again, echoing, we call it Sirasa Omer. Why are we so focused on the Omer, which was an amount? Because that amount, that Omer, is linked to the man. And the man is clear. One who had more, one who had less, came home exactly with what they needed. The Omer of the man reflected this idea of Emunah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. When we are involved in Siras HaOmer, what we're really working on is the arena of Emunah. When I count, today is 4 days of the Omer, I am saying today is 4 days that reminds me that the Omer I brought is really parallel to the Omer. That amount of man, that it's not about me. That it's not about, even though I have to put my establishment, I have to put my effort, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's running the show completely. And as L'tivchel Yom brings down, to be able, Shadam nimsa bo'olam hazeh bo'rabim hem marchikim oto mimenu yishbarach. There are so many things that distract a person from coming closer to Hashem. V'kasher u'mamim b'cholev shakol mito yishbarach v'alom ano hefker. But what the man, what the Omer comes to teach me is that things aren't hefker. The world is not random. That whatever is happening is tailor-made, every situation, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that, says Mikdash HaLevi Rav Duner, is the idea of the waving. Mata kayam haya chashash, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, there was the fear, pein yishkechu Yisrael talecha chanilbad, they may forget this lesson of the man. Therefore Hashem says, bring this mincha, the reshit tvuat ha-saorim, and call it mincha sa-omer, to remember the omer of the man. And ha-mincha azu siva kadosh baruch hu la-vi la-mikdash. Bring this mincha, this offering to the base of Mikdash, and wave it in heaven and earth, and in all four directions. Bichdei la'avir et ha-meser al pi kol mikorot ha-parnasa mikol kivun shehu tuliyim b'rtzono yiparach v'ha-parnasa minia mehem v'dina hina miyado yiparach ha-ptucha v'archava. Why do we wave it in every direction? To show us, to remind us that in whatever we go, whatever process or path we want to take, it's Hashem who is there, who's directing our parnasa. You want to go up, you want to go down. You want to go to the right, you want to go to the left. It doesn't matter, whatever you want to try. Hashem is the one who's in control. Hashem is the one who's in charge. And recognize that it's not just parnasa, it's not just our livelihood. It's all aspects of our lives. The lechem is just one major part of our lives, and it's really the catchphrase for everything. Whatever we are involved in, we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is granting, gifting, and controlling all that we have. So, the first idea of Sfiras HaOmer is movement. It's moving from one dimension to another, moving up that spiral away from 7 days, 10 days, away from that artzios, away. I've measured out, measure for measure. I've gone a little bit further today. I've worked on my patience a little bit more today. I've worked on whatever it is. I've worked on it a little bit. The second aspect of Sefirot Omer is basic Hashkafah Emunah. It's 49 days to remind me that I am not in control of my life. It's 49 days to remind me that whatever is happening in my life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And that's the Omer of the Man. If you had more, you had less, it makes no difference. Hashem is going to give you exactly what you need in life, and that's the message we need to inculcate within ourselves before we can have a Ma'amad Har Sinai. Before you can accept the Torah, that level of Emunah, that pitch of connection to Hashem has to be the groundwork to be able to accept Torah. The third idea is an idea we've never seen before, and I think it's very profound and very practical at the same time. We saw at the beginning in 44, the Tiva Torah quotes Rashi that the movement of moving it up, down, right, left has the ability to affect the rains, the tau, the dew. It has the ability to affect the winds. It has the ability to affect the environment around us. So Rav Gamliel points out in Tiva Torah 44, Ro'im Yisad Godo Kochol Shel Isha Yisraeli. We see here, from this little Rashi, the power of a Jew. Umahu Yachol Lasod Afilu Pula Pshuta Shel Nafal Levad. Why are we so focused in on the waving? Because that's what it's about. That a small act of waving has the ability to change the atmosphere, has the ability to change so much. One small act of waving, and the ripple effects are tremendous. You stop all these bad winds, all these bad dew. And you know what you learn from this, the upshot of this is? That we have to learn to appreciate every small act that we do in this world. We have the ability to affect worlds. Much more so when a Jew does a mitzvah properly. You have no idea. What effect and power you have on the world. As Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, you know, when the boys are not learning properly in Kovno, then there's Chilul Shabbos in Paris. Now we have to understand that every act that we do has a spiritual ramification, has a spiritual effect, that butterfly effect, that we have to know the power of what it means to be a Jew. So when we talk about Sefirot HaOmer, we're speaking about Davka the Omer. The Omer is something very small. It's a small measurement. But know that the Omer is Hanufas Omer, Tnufas Omer. It's the waving of the Omer. That doesn't matter. It's a small amount. When you wave it, when you do a mitzvah with it, you have the ability to control worlds. And that's the message of Sefirot Omer. The message of Sefirot Omer is every day to the Omer, know that even the small things that we do, the small measurements, the Omer has the ability to create incredible effects. And that's what we have to focus in on during the Sefirot HaOmer. The Sichos Bevrat Hashem Rav Meislis in 45 speaks about the power of what it means to be a Yid. And he quotes the famous idea of the Zohar HaKadosh. Elmalei ayu anashim yodim ahava shekadosh baruch hu ohev l'Yisrael, hayu shogim kekfirim. If we know how much Hashem loves us, we'd be like lions running after Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then he goes further, and he says in 46, V'chol shechein, v'chol shechein. How much more so when a Jew has the ability to do a mitzvah and a good deed? Hare ein shum pula b'olam haruya lavi simcha l'adam. Nothing should bring us greater simcha than doing a mitzvah of Hashem. Aside from the fact that we affect in the cosmos major aspects, we should also know that Hamalachim, Hasrafim, V'chol Alamod Hayonim, Kulam Mitkayimim, Nizonim, Nishbaim, Rakhmitar Tomitzvotav, the entire celestial world is based on us. And feeds off of us. And then he brings down, my friends, I want you to hear this. It's just the Be'er Mayim Chaim. The Be'er Mayim Chaim speaks about, this is Mamshanda 46. Im haya ro'eh mitzvah achat. If a person would see one mitzvah, the effect of one mitzvah that they do, it doesn't matter whatever mitzvah it is, pick a mitzvah. And you saw b'shamayim begadluta, you saw the effect of its greatness in heaven. Ech haya rodev kimishuga yomam v'leil b'ein lechem v'mayim l'chapei sachar mitzvah k'tana shebekatnud v'lo yarmagish k'laim hu'baguf ad kam shoro kadosh. If we were to see just even one mitzvah, the power, the effect, then we would be running like a wild person, a mishuga yomam v'leil, day and night, without eating or drinking, to run after these small little mitzvahs, because we would see the power of what these mitzvahs are about. Sefirah Ha'omer is about appreciating those omers. Sometimes the small mitzvahs, it's not a big deal. I do it, I don't do it. I have opportunity, I don't. Wrong. It's those small mitzvahs that build us. It's those small mitzvahs that have that grand effect. And it's those small mitzvahs that we have to be able to pay attention to, because they all build us, day by day, mitzvah by mitzvah, in our relationship with Hashem. Mishchat Shem and Rav Kaufman points out, and he says, V'im yaleh b'lev ha'adam machshava shal yeyush, u'morach lomar, hein madregla, dolad, l'ma'od hi la'gil l'tachli v'shlemus. You know, you're supposed to be Sheva, Sheva, so Samimel, 7 complete weeks. Me, I'm ever going to reach there? No. Im came Mali Madregot Grahot, I'm a regular person. I'm never going to reach there. Haitza, Yutza, Lo, Shitbonim, Berubamud, Erech, Kol, Masa, Mitzvah, Shal, Yish, Yisrael. Instead of looking just at the grand scheme, and you may feel overwhelmed, just look at the beauty and the power of every small mitzvah. Vad kama maila ishudi nachad maila ishudi nachad ruach l'tzei avinu shemayim, and how much nachad ruach we bring Hashem bechol pula tova shul seh, and every good deed you do umachshava zu tveyu shelo yalu alibo machshava ayeush. You can never despair, because you know you're moving forward, you're bringing it closer. For sure, when a person does something with the intention, with the speech, with the action that you put in, you know, all of your might into every mitzvah you do, wow, that goes even further. That's our challenge in Sefirah Ha'omer. And I'll add what Rav Yaakov Hillel points out in Source 48, that every Jewish soul which comes into this world has a purpose to complete and perfect itself through mitzvahs. It's possible that in a previous existence, a soul had already fulfilled certain mitzvot, but was lacking in others. If opportunities for specific mitzvot arise, it's a clear indication they are what we need to achieve our personal fulfillment and perfection. A single such occurrence may be the golden opportunity our soul requires, so much so we may have been born exclusively to take advantage of this one chance. I'd like to end with one story which demonstrates so clearly this idea of the power of one act, the power of something so small. It's a story that Rav Pinkus brings in Nefesh Chaya, of Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, who gets a wedding invitation from a Rosh Yeshiva in Switzerland. And not only does he get a wedding invitation for the Rosh Yeshiva's daughter, but he gets a plane ticket also. So he's wondering, he has really no relationship with this Rosh Yeshiva. They were in Panovich together years ago. Calls him up, wishes him Mazel Tov, and, you know, what's pshat with this, not only the invitation, but the plane ticket. So Rosh Yeshiva in Switzerland shares the following story. He says, many years ago, when I was a bacher in Panovich, I was a foreigner, I didn't know the language, I was from Switzerland, I didn't know the boys, I didn't know the culture, and I had a hard time adjusting. And I would call my parents and cry to them, and they, like all good parents, would say, wait it out, wait till Hanukkah, And I kept on waiting it out, and I still didn't feel like I belonged. I still didn't feel like I was part of the chevra, and I just couldn't get into the learning. So finally my parents gave in, and they said, you know what, just call up and make a plane ticket home. And I was going to do that. I was going to call the travel agent during the break between morning Seder and afternoon Seder, during the lunch break. I was going to call the travel agent. It was the old days when kids themselves used to make all the arrangements, not the parents, but that's aside from the point. So he said that morning that I was going to call the travel agent. I was sitting and I was learning. And you, referring to the Rosh Yeshiva from Yerushalayim, you were putting back a book in one of the bookshelves in the back, and you passed by me, and you saw that my collar was a little bit up. So you straightened it, patted me on the shoulder, smiled, and moved on. And at that moment, I said to myself, I belong. Somebody cares about me. And that moment was a transformative moment in my life. And I said, if I feel like I'm part of the chevra, that somebody cares enough to straighten out my collar and smile at me, why should I leave? And I never called the travel agent. And I stayed in Panovich. And I didn't go home to join the family business. Instead, because I stayed in Panovich, I became Rosh Yeshiva. And I am who I am today. My daughter is who she is today, marrying who she is today. And it's all thanks to you. Me and my friends have so many of these small collar experiences. We have no idea of the power of the mitzvah, whether it's ben adam l'makom or ben adam l'chaveiro, what impact we can have, how many worlds we can change. And that is what our job is. Usfartem lachem. Sviras ha'omer. The omer is a small measure. We have to go out and look for those small things in life, those small collar moments, those small brachos, those small things in life. Because those small things, as an omer of barley, it could be something that we don't even give much credence to. Those are the things that ultimately are the shtei halecha, move us toward the two loaves of bread, move us toward the greatness of the type of person whom Hashem has envisioned for all of us to be. Each and every one of us has this ability to be tmimos, to be whole, and it's built omer by omer, step by step.